from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary, and everybody else out there listening, ears, pets, and maybe a toothbrush. If a toothbrush is listening, hey, guess what, toothbrush? Congrats on gaining consciousness. That's actually big news. But also, it's time for bed. So I don't know where, if you sleep in the medicine cabinet or not, but you know who thinks about that kind of stuff and would snow? I would cradle you if needed. Probably not if you're wet. I'd wait till you dried out. But who talks to a toothbrush? Scoots does, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Sleep With Me is made possible by the hard work of Carl W., who edits some episodes. Chris Posey-Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edits episodes and did our theme music. Jonathan Mann is on our lullabies. Kenny Scotty and Jennifer Honor on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. And listeners have their own Facebook group. I want to thank the moderators over there. Sarah, Laura, Keith, Stacy, Julie, and Jennifer. And that's it. What do you say we keep this show going? Hey, up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can sit aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, travel noise, whatever's keeping you awake. It could be like a litany of things, or it could be one thing. But whatever it is, I'd like to help. So I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to kind of smooth it. I'm going to sweep it. I'm going to dust it, feather it. Feather it like with a duster, but no, totally. Everything here is extra hypoallergenic. And, you know, we'll have humidifiers, dehumidifiers, personal comfort zones, believe it or not, all those things. But really, what I'm that's kind of an example of a safe place. But what I'm really going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents, over-explanation, descriptions, like pauses, extra stuff. I think lots of thinking out loud and thinking, like just letting my thoughts go right out my mouth. That happens a lot. You see, was that a butterfly? Was that in, like a... No, that was one of your thoughts, Scoots. Wow, so sometimes my thoughts turn into butterflies. That's probably good news. Oh, no, that was a butterfly. It wasn't your thought. Your thought's there. It's like, oh, that's a so my thoughts are more like slugs than butter. Never mind. That was part of my brain. Interjections, I'll have some of those. But really what I'm going to do is keep you company. Take your mind off stuff. If you're new, here's what you need to know. Maybe you don't really need to. Here's what you need to know. Not much. But in order to make you feel comfortable, let me give you some something to expect. Structure show. First 4 minutes are business. Then there's an intro, which we started. The intros are about 12 minutes of me trying to explain the podcast and, you know, kind of demonstrate how it works. And also, I don't know. People seem to like them. Kind of like trying to establish a sense of place. That's a bit like my scribbles as a child. And so that'll be the intro. Then we'll have tonight. It'll be our episodic series about just kind of a mystery. I believe it takes place in a theme park where young girl lives. Yeah, but there's other layers to it, but it's really nice, and it's really, a bit dense, so really good to sleep to. So that'll be later, and you don't need any, you could get in, it's episodic, and snack, you know, they don't say that this podcast is snackable, because it's not snack size, but I would say it has a snackability. It might not be snackable. But it has, there's like, if there's a scale of snackability, it would be on that scale somewhere. And there's a story, then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's a structure show. But this is a podcast you don't need to listen to, or you can kind of listen to it. You can totally listen to it if you need to, because I'll be here to keep you company in the deep dark of night. But if you want to stop listening or kind of tune me out or half listen, like, okay, now's where he goes on. Now where's he's going to go on a tangent here. And I'm just going to yawn here and get a little more comfortable. And Scoots is kind of like, at some point, maybe I take on more, my words make even less sense. You say, mram, 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 something. Sorry, cats. Didn't mean to do the whole, sorry, cats. Didn't mean to get your attention and send you that secret message about being extra on your best behavior forever. But I'll send it to you again. Mram, mram, mram. And totally, that's what that message was, cats. Always be on good behavior. And also that third one was don't sneeze like on your owners if you can. Sometimes that's something new. Secret cat messages. That's like an experimental thing we're doing just this episode, ideally, by accident. So that's a structure show. You don't really need to listen. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to help. I'm here to keep you company and to escort you. To be at your side, really, as you cross the threshold from wake to sleep. So I'm here to help, but I'm not here to say, oh, you should do it this way or you should do it that. I'm just here to virtually sit at your bedside and say, hey, it seems like you can't sleep. That must not be great. Or I'm sorry, I really do believe you should be able to sleep or be relaxed and comfortable there. And I'll try to help by telling you a goofy story with an extra long intro that doesn't make a whole lot of sense at the beginning and going on a bunch of tangents. But really, it's just kind of some silly stuff. So if you want to try it, give it a shot. And right now, what I'm going to try to do is make a metaphor about the podcast. And here's the news. Here's big little Scooter. You know, people say Scooter. Why do you talk? Why do you call yourself Scooter? And I say, well, doesn't it sound nice and friendly? And they say, tell me more about what's going on with you. And they say, who says this? And it says, well, you're by yourself recording a podcast, so probably some portion of your ego. And I say, okay, so you want me to tell you more about me? Me? Great. Well, here's the latest in Scooter personal news. I have a new member of my household, a plant, a house plant. I didn't look up its, I did look at it and I did read it, but of course my brain doesn't record those things till the fifth time. And I did even pull out its little, thingamajig that says, this is what I officially am called. But I picked up a new plant. It was at TJ's where I do all my shopping. This one's in Oakland and they had some plants. And I said, well, you know what I could use as a plant, and I said, well, what will that do with my relationship with my dog? Actually, I didn't think about that at the time. I said, well, this could be a win-win, fresh air, someone for me to talk to that doesn't have the ability to sigh. And maybe this will be the plant. I didn't say this is the plant within hearing distance. You know, maybe this will be the one plant I'm able to actually help flourish. And so I took the plant home. It's some sort of palm-like, it has those, like, not a palm tree. It just has, like, long, thin leaves coming up all the way from inside the dirt. And I think it said palm somewhere on its label. But I said to the plant, wow, you're a good-looking plant there. You look like you'd be good at cleaning some air. How do you feel about coming home with me and cleaning some air? And all the succulents looked on, because at first I said, wow, succulents came with their own pots. So that was a benefit. I did have to do a cost-benefit analysis because this lovely plant just came in some foil in a, you know, plastic pot. But one day, years from now, maybe it'll have its own pot. But yeah, the succulents weren't happy because they were looking good. But then I said, I got down on my knees. I said to the succulents, what's the sitch down here with the air? How much CO2 and O2 are you exchanging? And they just looked at me like they were hardy. I guess I maybe confused their hardiness for haughtiness. And then the wind blew in, like a summer breeze in the winter, and it blew through the hair stalk, like the hair of a moss-based woman that I once fell in love with, but different because these were like longer and straighter strands of palm. And I said, wow, excuse me with your purple foil. Maybe I'm the foil. And I said, what do you think about coming home with me and exchanging some gases and meeting Koa and Sophia, becoming a part of my family, really? And I said, and I'll do my part. If I don't ignore the reminders I'll set in my phone. And I said, I didn't realize this was one of my goals for this year, but I said, I really would like more plants in my life. And I think it's going to start with you. And the next thing I know, the plant was in my cart and we were shopping together. We were talking, we were getting looks from the Trader Joe's customers and workers, which, in my hometown, you know, this was a store on the way from someplace where I volunteer. So I said, those people find it my behavior stranger than my regular Trader Joe's, where they're used to me chatting up the product, as they say. So I was singing to the plant, and she thinks it's a she. But the plant doesn't have a name yet, and I don't want to, like, I said I was close. But I said, okay, well, we'll just let your name come organically, hardy har har. I guess, is my subconscious organic? And then the plant laughed. So I said, okay, I have you. You're officially a member of my family. I said, you can't consider yourself a member of this household till you've both laughed with and at me. And so the plant is now within my care, and I consider myself, some of the air I breathe is in the plant's care. And hopefully I could get some more plants, but let's just do it one plant at a time. Also, plants, don't hold this again. I'm here to make amends to all plants from my past in the plant, other plant worlds. No need to pull me in there. You know, this will be the one. I'm going to make amends, living amends with this plant. Keep it living amends. I'm going to keep the plant company. They heard, like, they don't talk about that, but they used to say if you talk to plants, it's good for them. And it's probably good for you. But I always already talked, like, the other day I was talking over the news, like doing a little routine that I do before the plant. My daughter said, Dad, do you do this when you're home alone? And I said, you betcha. And she just laughed. She wasn't surprised one bit. It's a different, bits I do, interactive news bit. I like to interact with things, and this plan will be a new thing for me to interact with, chat with. Maybe I'll chant with it. Maybe that's the thing to really, put on some Gregorian chants. I think I will do that tonight. I haven't been meaning to do that by myself, but I can imagine it's soothing. So that could be on my list is plant chatting. Well, maybe this could be a couple of series of books too, depending on how I do with this plant. Plant chatting and plant chanting. It's a little bit too of my, it'd be a book title. So I won't have to see it now, like the plant chanting podcast. You chant at plants, like factories, like to get the workers. No, I chant with plants, like not just Gregorian chants, but that's how I got started because that was the only branded chant I was aware of. But yeah, now that I'm into double entendre books, I'll be doing plant cheering, where I'll be cheering for plants, with plants, and to cheer plants up and use plants to cheer other people up. So I guess that's a quadruple meaning. That'll be my third book. It'll also be my, I guess it couldn't be, maybe I should make it my fourth book, Plant Cheering. So those will be coming out from Gingerbread Press, like in another timeline, they're already published somewhere, very minute alternative, least likely of alternative universes. Me chanting with a plant isn't unlikely, but doing a book about it and getting it published probably not. So that's what I do, and literally that's what I'm doing in that may become my new hobby. Talking to stuff in the grocery store is a hobby. And I don't think it's that different. I mean, here is different because, one, I'm doing it because once I get out of the house, I get a little antsy. So I have to run some interference and comfort myself. And really, that's why I do it. Sing in grocery stores and talk to Meatloaf is partially I feel a little shy. And I just need a little comfort. And maybe my plant needs a little chanting. But here, tonight, right now, I'm here for you. And the reason I'm here for you is because I've been there, tossing and turning in the deep, dark night. So this podcast is a take on all of that nonsense, but a little different. I'll be here for another 45 minutes to keep you company, to take your mind off of whatever's keeping you awake. If you're new, a lot of reviewers say it took 2, 3, 4, 5 tries to get used to this podcast. But once it did, I started falling asleep. And there's listeners that I hear from on a regular basis that don't fall asleep. So if you can't sleep, I'll be here too. And that's it. Give it a few tries. It doesn't work for everybody. But I appreciate you. Really, I do. I appreciate you trying this podcast. And I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because I really want to help you fall asleep. All right. Thanks for coming by. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our ongoing episodic story. It doesn't have a title, and I don't think it's going to get one, just because I haven't found one. But I'll give you the premise. The premise is hidden within it, and it's a nice little, dense little story to sleep to. But somewhere out there, as Fievel once said, but this doesn't have anything to do with Fievel, or who Fievel is, but somewhere out there, there's a theme park, and within that theme park lives a young woman or girl, depending on how you want to describe her, or depending on the episode. Tonight she will be a girl, age where you could say, well, that's a girl. But you could say, I don't know, but, and it's all you really know, you need to know to be lulling. There will be very few thrills or chills, because it's, well, I don't want to tell you any more than that. It's not cloaked in mystery, it's cloaked in a foggy imagination. And to transition us tonight, I wanted to go to Wikipedia's article about the gold rush, which is a discovery of gold, sometimes accompanied by other precious metals or rare earth minerals, that brings an onrush of miners seeking their fortune. Major gold rushes took place in the 18th century in Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, Canada, South Africa, and the United States, and smaller gold rushes took place elsewhere. The wealth that resulted was distributed widely because of reduced migration costs and low barriers to entry. While gold mining itself was unprofitable for most diggers and mine owners, some made large fortunes, and the merchants of transportation facilities also made large profits. The resulting increase in the world's gold supply stimulated global trade and investment. Historians have written extensively about the gold rush and the relations to a lot of stuff. Gold rushes were typically marked by a general buoyant feeling of a free-for-all and income mobility, in which any single individual might become abundantly wealthy almost instantly, as expressed in the California Dream. Gold rushes extend as far back as the Roman Empire, where gold mining was described by Pliny the Elder, and probably back even further. The life cycle of the gold rush usually starts with a transition through progressively higher capital expenditures with larger organizations, and it may also progress from high unit value to low unit value minerals, gold and silver to base metals. It typically begins with the discovery of a place for gold by an individual. And the gold may be washed from the sand or the gravel by individual miners with little training. Once it's clear that there's a volume of gold-bearing sediment larger than a few cubic meters, the miners go to work. The California Gold Rush of 1848 to 1505 in the Sierra Nevada captured popular imagination and led to the settlement of California by Americans and the rapid entry of the state into the Union in 1850. Also, it stimulated a worldwide interest in prospecting for gold and new rushes in Australia, South Africa, Wales, and Scotland, and also spread throughout the United States. So it's a little bit about gold rushes, which are typically spurred on or symbolized at some point by flowing water, either in a stream or a sluice, flowing gently. I'd wondered how long it would take you to arrive here. To see me. I wondered if I would be the last attraction you would come in contact with. I knew I shouldn't be the first, for you wouldn't have fully appreciated me, the complexity I had to offer. Turns out I wasn't the last, but I was skeptical you would even understand the depth of what I could teach you. The full range of experiences I had to offer as you navigated my twists and my turns, my stories. You know, some of those other attractions look on me with a jealous eye, a jealous air. And I didn't even know if you bring that along with you, that you would presuppose, but I presupposed anyway that you wouldn't understand. How observant were you? How observant could you be? Of course, it was an easy story for you to observe, but would you understand what I wanted you to understand about negotiation, about give and take, about passivity and taking control, about all or nothing or slumped shoulders? But as I observed you and heard about you through the attraction grapevine, we'll call it, those attractions that aspire to speak with me, you didn't bring your own agenda. You developed your own agenda while you were here. A caretaker had preceded you and was able to do a lot of upkeep and putting things back in order. They'd been doing some maintenance anyway, making sure my tracks were lubed and working on my tronics and my turns, tightening bolts. Now, my lift mechanism, I wasn't sure why that wasn't fixed, whether it was too much work or not worth it, but I found it helped with my skepticism about you. Without a lift mechanism, would you be up to the task? Could you make the mine cars move on your own? Did you have the energy? Did you have the strength? And did you have the intelligence to even realize it? And, of course, the caretaker checked all my water features. Most importantly, the pools of water, seemingly stagnant, that the founder had seen so certain to slow or stop the motion of the cars, the mine cars. Water breaks, so brilliant, so original, to slow down the forward momentum of the vehicles. The water would need no repair, for it did its own work. Just needed to be at the set level. And the caretaker ensured that. What foresight the founder had for that in helping develop the depth of my story. Without no waters, there would be no breaks. I guess I could have more than one meaning here. I also wondered if you would ride the rush, as they say. That's what some of the children would say. Are you going to go ride the rush? When we had guests, more guests than just you, and you're not really a guest at all. You've made yourself quite at home. But I didn't know if you had it in you to ride the rush. Would you watch the rush or ride the rush? Or neither? And you arrived and you sheltered yourself in the loading area for a time. Setting up, it was a nice spring, warm, so the open air, but the cover of the loading area sheltered you from the rain, but the breeze kept you cool at night. And you sat there for a time. I don't know if you were watching me or I was watching you, but then you set out on the track, and I had a laugh because you headed off in the wrong direction. But I guess I couldn't be too judgmental because it did make sense. You headed right into town, a western town, which, you know, was just a false front, which you would know. I guess you didn't know that when you first set out, and your hand would play another part in that. And that was the first town you encountered, which I said, this will be interesting observing her. And you looked at the schoolhouse from the outside. And, you know, the caretaker had some of the audio even working there, which was just sound effects that your location triggered. So when people were waiting in line, they could hear the children studying. And you tried to rush in, but there was nowhere to rush to other than the front of the schoolhouse and the front of the clinic. The dentist with the big wooden dental tooth, I guess they call it, hanging from the front door as a sign. The saloon with its music, if you listened closely, you could even hear on the second floor of some of the buildings, you know, music lessons and parents talking to children. Hours and hours of audio, so the guests would always be surprised. Different discussions in the saloon, you could sit there and listen to Bernie talk to Ray about the quality of the ingredients or the quality of the piano playing, the hotel, the hardware and mining store, a peaceful place for people to go and celebrate how they believed things would be. And you were curious, you know, you would listen and you also enjoyed the audio and your ability to trigger the audio, and you explored, even though they were false fronts, they did have supporting structures, and you stayed there in the town for a time and made yourself a little cubby in the top of the schoolhouse. And I said, is she just going to stay in this town? And part of me was a little disappointed, but it didn't take you long to venture beyond the town, along the track still. And at the back of the town was the gold processing and transfer station, where they would transfer and process the gold from the mine. And there was a fake train station and even a train parked there, where you could just get an idea. It wasn't really, because you were doing it in reverse, I said, what is this? You were seeing it in a context, almost a historical context, but not my history. Watching and imagining them transferring the gold from processing the ore to the trains that soon you would discover Curly Sue was behind. And maybe you even understood it in a different way, the call of the conductor. Last train of gold out of Boomtown. It had a more of a meaning than you knew. It wasn't about the park closing time. But then it was the big hill. A big rushing hill, the last big hill of the ride, with a couple swoops, bumps, or whatever you would call it, where you'd say, oh, this makes sense. This is where the mine cars come rolling down. And the hill went steep into a dry canyon, high-walled red rocks, even a few different animals looking down, a bird and a ram, a sheep, and the steep walls of the canyon turning and the track turning so much so that you had to climb for a time. And then at the top of the canyon, a giant tunnel, which you pondered before entering. You looked at its large size, how it tumbled and opened right into the ravine, all the way down the hill. And I wondered if you contemplated that it wasn't carved by the hands of woman and man, but by the flow of the same water that carved the canyon below. Thousands and thousands of years the water carved and worked its way through the tunnel and into the canyon and down the hill. If the story, you know, was sticking to the story, you know, really it's just concrete. And then you ventured in to the tunnel. No water flowed there except for a trickle at the bottom, but the air was moist. And it got your attention. Why was the air? Well, I guess the water was trickling at the bottom of the tunnel. And there in the tunnel, you saw where different holes branched off, and these holes were carved by human hands. And the tracks weaved in and out of the different tunnel offshoots, the mine This actually was the mine branching off from this water-carved tunnel. And even where the track split and doubled back, so that for a time the ride would go in reverse. None of this, they said, oh, she doesn't get any of this. But you chose the left track, so you kind of missed some of the side portions of the ride. And you climbed up to the top where the peak of the ride, where there was standing, overlooking a valley, which forced perspective made it look like it was miles and miles away, and you were so high up. It really was the top point of the ride. But there was Curly Sue in her mining garb with a model of the town that you had left below and a table in front of her. And she was pointing to the valley where the town would be. And you could even see, wait, I didn't come from there, but it almost looks like I did, this forced perspective. You climbed down into the valley to see that it wasn't hundreds of feet away, but it seemed as if it was. That's called forced perspective, my dear. But I guess you forced yourself to get to the perspective. And Curly Sue was operational. You realized you had to push down on a part of the track to activate her, talking about her vision for the town and pointing to a giant gold nugget that would make it possible. And there was other residents there smiling at Curly Sue's smiling face. And then you headed further along the track, and you caught your first view of a dam. Again, using the perspective and also the actual height of the ride to make it even seem further away. Now, this one you had to do some snooping, I guess, investigating. But the dam stood there, but the water was just a trickle. Until you headed back further along, I guess you had learned from the Curly Sue tronic that you needed to trigger the water flowing. It saved energy that way. But when you triggered the water, you saw how the rushing water was headed. And again, because of the perspective, you said, oh, that's the mine, that's the tunnel. But then it would be diverted away by a rock and earth and dam rushing to the side of the tunnel where a few miniature tronics who looked like, you know, they were just far away miners were standing dry in the entrance to the tunnel. And you said, huh, if that was, if the water was really rushing those miners, the dam's keeping them. And you followed further along the edge of the dam. And then the track turned so you'd look. That was off of the left side of the car. And then it used the right side of the car, another turn, so you could see your first view of a steamboat. Which, because you spent so much time at the park, you weren't totally shocked to see a part construction vehicle, part robot, a steam machine, once called a steam person by the inventor Flockmacher. But these steam bots were purchased and employed. You would soon find out who they were in the employ of. But at first you jumped over the helping Curly Sue build this dam, divert the water. And if, as you traveled a little bit further on, you saw, and again, you had to trigger this, but the steam bots are pushing the top of a mountain off into the valley to begin the mining process. A very fancy and interesting effect with projection. I couldn't believe the miner got that working again, and real effects, and water and sound. And once it went through, cycled through twice, it never worked again, which you kind of seemed disappointed at. But you got the gist. These steam bots had moved part of the valley and created a new path for the water. And then you headed down the lift hill, the main lift hill. Now, you did miss, I can't judge you right away, but I will, that you did miss another turn in the track, but it was hidden. So you headed down the main lift hill, where you saw Curly Sue talking to one Edouard Panur, the person giving the steam bots, and seemed to be shaking hands and making a deal. The steam bots behind Panua, and Curly Sue smiling and giving Panua in one hand a bag that said gold on it, a big bag of gold. And even further behind Curly Sue, it was dramatically enlarged, but it was two sets of contracts. And you studied them, and actually the creators, the engineers had put a lot of work into the language of the contracts for immersive purposes, to create a superior attraction than I am. And the one contract was Curly Sue's first offer to Panua, which was a stake in the mine. And described a kind of partnership, but Curly Sue had crossed it all out, and Panur had to put no. And then the contract that was signed at the bottom by Edouard Panur and Curly Sue, witnessed by some town person, Harold Hamburger was the name on there, to be funny for some reason. It described a payment of gold to Panur instead of, you know, just straight gold. Some, I think, I can't even remember the pounds. And then after that, lower down the climb hill was another tronic of Curly Sue. Planning out the vision for the mine and figuring, oh, if I could just move the dirt. And there was another good effect. It was Curly Sue actually moving real dirt. It wasn't dirt, it was ground plastic. And actually inside of the plastic was metal, so it was magnetized. That's how it majestically, if your ride ever got stuck, the dirt would majestically turn back flat, so that Curly Sue's character could then make it into a dam, which then would be remagnetized into the dam shape. I hate to tell you all this, but you figured it out anyway. And seeing, oh, this just might work. And then a scene of Curly Sue buying a claim, and then pointing to the map right in the middle of the river, the pointing to there, and everyone laughing at Curly Sue. And then yet another Curly Sue, a lot of main character in this ride, of course. Then at the beginnings of the ride, the lift hill, where Curly Sue was walking through a town, not like the town you had left, more like a collection of tents, a camp, I guess. It wasn't a town. Spent so much time there, I call it a town. With children without shoes and people sneezing and Curly Sue cooking and bringing food and sharing with all the other miners. Just trying to, you know, get by. And that was where the a ride started, and again it reinforced they called it Curly Sue's Folly was where they pointed up the hill. And a beautiful thing in the that I guess you hadn't observed, but maybe it had implanted yourself, was inside the roof of the ride in the awnings or whatever you'd call it. Under the roof was murals of the same story that we had observed. Just the first part, Curly Sue being a part of the town and the town or the camp not being the best place to live, and Curly Sue helping out around there. And then Curly Sue buying a claim in the middle of a river, rushing, not just a river, rushing a canyon. And everyone laughing and saying, Curly Sue, like, you're not going to be able to mine there. We like you, Curly Sue, but you're a goof. And then, and I think it was interesting, you know, because it was a very, not impressionistic drawing, but, it's easy to ignore up there in the roof area, done in a style that was clear if you knew what you were looking at. Or you say, well, that's just some sort of Western montage. And then Curly Sue getting the idea for the mine and actually filling in some gaps of Curly Sue pushing rocks and stuff and that not working. And then Flock, again, more backstory, Flockmacher, the inventor of the steamboat, and Edouard Panua at a World's Fair making a deal for exclusive distribution of the steam person. And then eventually Curly Sue making a deal with Edouard Panua. And then the building of the mine. And all those things, but again, easily forgotten, but very well, the paint they used was quite, you know, they had a sealant over it, so it's lasted some time. I'm a well-made attraction. And there in the load area, you know, the caretaker had only restored two of the mine cars, not the usual full train. And you sat in the mine cars for a while, and you pondered, and you tried to get the ride started, pressing buttons and wandering around and trying to find the machine room and finding it and nothing going on. You could see the power running to the tronics and the audio and things, and the big water pumps, which you kind of said, huh, what are these big water pumps? Because you hadn't seen everything. You thought you knew it all. But eventually, after some testing, you realized you would have to push the two mine cars up the lift hill. And because of the, you know, because it couldn't roll backwards, with every click, you could relax. So you managed to do it. And I think it made you stronger, pushing the car up a little bit at a time. And taking a few days and soaking in again the beginnings of the story, the camp and Curly Sue and Curly Sue's crazy idea. And in this part of the ride, sometimes the audio worked and sometimes it didn't. So you kind of got a, you said, okay. And you liked Curly Sue a little bit, patting Curly Sue on the shoulders and, only a patch. You didn't hug Curly Sue. And Edouard Panua, I think you, I mean, it was a way, you know, even Edouard Panua's face was constructed in a scowl that it kept you at guard. And I liked how you, even when you were pushing the cart up, you took time to kind of, you lived in the camp for a time. Those tents actually, obviously, if it's a tent on the outside, it's a tent on the inside. And pretending you were Curly Sue and trying to dress, taking some of the clothes off the children tronics and putting them on. You know, one thing I forgot to mention in the mural that wasn't there was Curly Sue's initial mining attempts, which kind of explained Curly Sue's a little bit of gold she had to sell, to give to trade with Edouard Panua for the steamboats, and it was just a rental. I guess that's not apparent. But Curly Sue's hard work, and Curly Sue, you know, trading her kindness and her support around town for tiny, tiny scraps of gold that she saved up. and finally got the car to the top, and you wondered before you pushed over the hill, you already had enough experience with attractions to know the cart would start to roll. And so you scouted ahead, but you, and that's where you noticed the turn through the doors, and that it was going in somewhere. And so you scouted out ahead of time and saw that the car turned into the inventor's workshop, and went through. And so you figured out you could close. There was also doors on the other side of the inventor's workshop, which you found some sandbags. And he said, well, I'll slow this car down here if I don't want to keep going into the unknown. And that was the first part of the ride that was surprising to guests. It looked like the car was going to go one way, right to Curly Sue's vision for the town and the mine and all that, but it really went left into the workshop where Flockmacher was with Edouard Panua. And Panua was laughing at Curly Sue, and Flockmacher was saying, this is never going to work. But in the ride, the car itself would have to dodge industrial equipment working on assembling the steam bots and, vats of things. It was a fun part of the ride, and it was in that dark day glow night ride style. But it was mostly just that more underlying Edouard Panua, which rhymes with manure. And then you even noticed that when you got out to the rock slide part, that's where the car returned to, that it was tilting. And that's why there was the ride switch. So you'd feel like you were tilting into the rock slide. And then again, tilting. Oh, no, there's the force perspective, Great Canyon. Oh, ride tilt again. And then a little down and then a little uphill. Which gave the guests a little wee-wee-woo. But it would actually, your car got caught on the hill because it didn't have the little drive it needed to just go up a few more clicks. So you had to push it up again up the crest. And then the car ran back down towards Curly Sue's vision. And then you heard the sound of rushing water. And again, this is when the car started to go into the mine. So it did pick up some pace here. But again, you hadn't explored all this. So it explored where Curly Sue again was telling the miners, don't worry, this dam is strong. It's not going in the, the miners objected. Well, what if the mine was to, or what if the dam wasn't to work out? This whole tunnel would be full of water. And Curly Sue saying, don't worry, this is like an entire mountain was pushed to change the direction of the river. And then there's lots of gold effects. But you started to notice something, again, because the ride was designed to go through this area twice, that a lot of the miners had to steam bot. So you said, wait a second, there's something else here. But you also got to see, you would go around in a circle around a rushing waterfall, which is very exciting, even for you. And then you said, well, and I said, don't use that for bathing. It's recycled water. And then a few more turns inside of the mine, which really wasn't, we weren't in the mine anymore, but there was Curly Sue's vault. And Curly Sue loading gold into the vault, and Edouard Panua there arguing with Curly Sue. And this is where the story, the gaps in the story you had had. Curly Sue saying, no, no, no. And Edouard Panua pointing at the gold, and then it was a montage again. And then Curly Sue pointing at the contract, saying, basically, you had your chance, Edouard Panua. And then again in another tunnel, Edouard Panua pointing at the town. Again, this was beautiful. It was through a hole in the mine. And there was a moon over, again, a distant model of the town, which looked real, with twinkling lights. And that was just in the background. The depth of the detail was in my attraction, again. But Curly Sue was telling the miners, Edouard Panur, I'm getting carried away, was telling the miners, hey, we're getting ripped off by Curly Sue. Just a schoolhouse. Curly Sue's making off with the gold. Why don't you do that? And then the townspeople saying, well, it's not a bad deal, you know. A child showing off her fancy, nice teeth in that. And then Edouard Panur just getting frustrated. And the town saying, well, maybe we will. And then the townspeople arguing with Curly Sue. And I loved, another thing I love about myself, my ride, is that none of this was expected and you missed it all. Again, the ride went deeper because the townspeople hassling Curly Sue was only a distraction and on your next turn. And this all took place in a ride building, you know. I mean, you know now, but it looked just like the inside of a mine. And you did like living there for a time. Because you stopped the ride. You stopped the ride so often, and then you'd have to push it back. And I said, she is going to be a very strong young woman. I never thought she'd continue to stop the ride. I thought you would just ride through it just once at first to see it. And, of course, I assumed you were stopping it because you didn't want to ride the rush. But you seemed to be getting at the bottom of what the rush really was. And so you would restart it and take your time, your sweet time, I guess. But you saw how the distraction of the town versus Curly Sue, the townspeople allowed Edouard Panur to do, I guess, the unthinkable, which was to send the steamboats to the dam. And again, one of my premier set pieces, I think they called them. Of design, and again, a nice full moon night scene of the town at the an opening in the mine that looked out over the valley and the dam, and the townspeople discuss. And this was 2D, but 2D moving pieces were thematically going along with the style of my attraction. Everyone arguing with Curly Sue, but then in the backdrop, Edouard Panur and the steamboats moving the base of the mine and the top of the mine at the same time, and Panur laughing, and then Curly Sue's turning and saying, oh, no, no, everyone in the mine carts. And he said, oh, wait, the perspective of the ride has changed. I am a townsperson, and then water spraying through holes, more of a gimmick to spray you in the face or the hair, and the ride twisted and turned till the dramatic exit, back where you had climbed up, but now is much different, for you heard sound effects and real water sound effects rumbling. And then you did see, not Curly Sue, but Edouard Panur and the steamboats twisted to the left and them getting caught in the water. And then people jumping in a minecart. So you said, well, is this a mirror image? So some confusing things. And then the dramatic portion of the ride, the big hills and turns. But not just hills and turns with water swooshing first ahead of the minecart. And somehow you say, I just missed that water. And then another turn and the water rushing behind you. And then another turn and into the canyon and the big tunnel. And the water actually chugging behind your car. And people in my heyday could not believe this. And they even said, how is this, you know, a good idea? And the engineers explained it all. But, you know, just a swift run down the hill to stay just ahead. And Curly Sue you know, you'd see reflection. I liked also the shadow effects towards the end of the ride, where you would look at the shadow of your car. What you thought was the shadow of the car you went in, really it was a projection of Curly Sue and the townspeople in a mine car getting away. And then racing down the water, bursting, you know, thundering. And you just heading in, and then the whole town getting flooded, the water flooding out all the second and first story windows and doors. Again, looking like it was going to, just a special effect, though. As you broke in the water would slow down the ride. But it was also an oh no moment, because as it slowed down the ride, you thought you were going to get swooshed by water coming out of the town's windows. But really, the water, it was just a sound effect. So, I mean, a look effect. The water was really rushing, but it wasn't ever, you know, a little mist on the face, and that was it. And then if you really listened, you know, you had to pay attention for the final part. But it was the people of the town. Most people were too busy cheering to hear the people of the town say, well, Curly Sue, can't you rebuild the town? There's no worry. And Curly Sue saying, last gold headed out, and the last train out of town. It was the last payment due to build the town. My mind's tapped out. But you heard it, and you heard it clearly, because there was no other guests there, no cheering. And I saw your face go cross. And then you rode the ride over and over again, as so many guests did. You didn't have to wait in line. You did have to push the car up the hill, so, which probably took longer than waiting in line, but maybe less frustrating and made you much stronger. But you rode it again and again with this cross look on your face, and then you got out of the car too one time. You stormed through the ride, pointing at Curly Sue and scolding Curly Sue every time you encountered her. And Edouard Bonnua, you did more than just scold. You crossed your arms and raised your voice. But that wasn't enough for you. Then you went into the room and you shut off all the water. You turned off all the water pumps and you drained the water out of the park. Even my water breaks, you drained away. I said, what is she about? And, you know, part of me at that time said, how dare she change my ride, my perfect story? But you still didn't, that furrowed brow between your eyes, it didn't relent. And then you filled the mine car up again and again with the tronics, which were quite heavy and bolted to the floor. And you ripped all my tronics out with a frustration. It drove you week after week, and you would ride them down to the town where the backup brakes would stop the cart. You wouldn't even be in the cart. You would hop out. You had a little way to jump out, and then all the tronics would get ejected from the car, and you would put them in the town. And once you had all the townspeople and all the versions of Curly Sue and Edouard Bonnua there, you started to design. I said, what is she about? She's building out the fake buildings. And you added a table. You took tables and chairs and even a few bathtubs from other attractions. And you put the people in the bathtubs and under the tables. And you scolded them as well. For not, I guess, for putting up with both Curly Sue and Edouard Bonnua. And you said, one day, you know, I'm going to wash you all away. I've had enough. And I said, for someone without, I said, she's never had an authority figure in her life, but she's quite stern with these townspeople in particular. He said, what are you thinking? Even though you put them in the tub and put a door even above the tub, he said, what a, hide in your tub. And I guess I looked at you at first with, you know, dismay, but I learned to have some pride. Because I guess I had been fed up for so long. For Curly Sue for being soft and Edouard Panua for being crafty. The townspeople for falling and swaying back and forth, for not appreciating the town and Curly Sue. Again, with Curly Sue not seeing Edouard Panua for what Edouard Panua was. As an attraction, I guess they felt the most for the steam people, because they said, well, they were just the steam people doing, you know, just doing construction. And now, you know, technically, if the ride was real, if my whole story was real, they'd be rusted and gone away. But that was it for you. You seemed very pleased. You swept your hands like you cleaned them. And you moved back in. You didn't alter the murals. And actually, you slept with the murals again under my awning, under my roof, you know, until the weather changed. Through the summer, you were here for so long into the fall. And I guess part of me, before you arrived, would have been stern with you. But I do understand it now, and I understand that you let me say, I've had enough with all of you, and you're negotiating, and, you know, just, Curly Sue, just, don't, you can't be super nice, and Edouard Panua, just get it to, you know, what's with these townspeople running around? So thank you, and I'm glad you sleep, still. When it's warm with me in the loading area, resting under my wooden roof, open air, the breeze carrying you through as you rest at night, gently listening to the sounds of the evening. Good night. I want to thank everybody that made some reviews for the show over on Apple Podcasts, Star Grace Lily. This is better than a lullaby. A great idea. She recently started listening. Creaky dulcet tones put me right to sleep. Sometimes I'm out before it's over. Highly recommend this to anyone who likes background noise or distractions. Thanks, Scooter. Thanks, Star Grace. And I'm looking for Veronica so I can say thank you, who said thank you to me. Yeah, you're really helping me out, dude. And I say thank you back. And then big haps are happening. Can't sleep without it. Even my kids asked to put it on. Needed this. It really does work. Just put it on before you know it. You're out. Set a sleep timer or just to have it end when the episode ends. Can't sleep without it. It's a nightly thing. When my kids come over, they even ask to put it on. Awesome podcast. Thanks again. Thank you, big haps. Worth a try. The only thing that actually puts me to sleep fast, Annika's motherly neighborhood. Thanks, Annika. You remind me of Miss Rogers a little bit. It can't help when you can't. Great help when you can't sleep. This comes in from KLPNY in Cincinnati. I just added that part, but there's something about Dear Scooter's voice that's soothing and lulls you to sleep. I had a really bad cough and it wouldn't go away, and this even soothes it. I'm like a cough medicine. Thank you. This one comes from New Zealand, kind of like Master of Puppets, but more creative, strangely attractive and helpful. I've been called strangely attractive. Unusual premise, make a boring podcast, but it seems to work for a state of podcast at taking our minds off the hamster wheel, just enough to switch off wakefulness. I've tried all sorts of things to switch off to no avail, even tried counting backwards from 1,007s. And it got to about 100, and then I was still awake. But sleep with me seems to help sleep come, even if it's, and if it doesn't, it's still soothing. So thank you, Scooter. Still haven't discovered why you're called that. And maybe it'll help me fall asleep before you explain it. Probably check out some of our old AMAs on Spotify. Player 71 says, perfect solution. Struggled with insomnia for years. Learned a long time ago by falling asleep to the TV. Listening to something was a way to distract my brain from thoughts swirling around it. Tried lots of things. audiobook sound machines, but this is perfect. Thank you. Maya Bassa TU says it's hilarious and soothing. Host rambling distracts my mind from stressful buzzing thoughts. Scoots put me to sleep every time I struggle with stress, insomnia. Funny and lighthearted, whimsical storytelling, perfect transition to dreamland. Thanks, Maya. This one comes in from RBLK. Give it three nights to work. Five-star review is completely warranted and not earned lightly. Oh, boy. It never left a review in the iTunes store before, but the quality of this podcast warrants an exception. Thanks, Sarah Black. Make no mistakes. Drew Scoots knows exactly what he's doing, the amount of dedication and work he puts into the creation shows. Without delving deeply into the science of the method, my basic take is, I guess, is an oral mimicking of your REM state. Disarms your mind, lulls you to sleep, for lack of a better term, tricking your mind to believing it's already asleep. Normally, I fall asleep during the intro. That means I'm usually out in 10 minutes of pressing play. And the nights where my insomnia is particularly bad, where I wake up in the middle of the night, starting a new episode generally does the trick. Thank you, Drew, for what you've done. I never struggled with insomnia until I had some tough times, because I love my mom very much. I love my mom, and the podcast has made a difference. And if you're reading this review and have not given it a try, give it three nights, just as he says during the intro. It doesn't work for everyone. However, I believe the success rate is pretty high, and friends I've recommended to became loyal listeners too. Thank you so much. Good luck to the prospective subscriber and to Drew. This comes in from Chris E., who says, my sleep savior. Generally, my body's ready to calm down. My brain has another plan, but sleep with me doesn't always calm the hamster wheel, but it does give a rolling narrative in the background that turns down my brain's volume. A tune when I try to sleep, but more importantly, in the middle of the night when I'm lying awake for no good reason. The ramblings and wayward tales of sleep with me are like soft waves of the ocean or a literal babbling brook. I'm so glad I found this. I never get past 15 minutes, which means sleep with me is doing its job. And finally, Stalton says, love it. Love the style, especially in the new episodes about Doctor Who. My husband can't sleep to it because his father tells stories like this and he doesn't, but this person winds down to it. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. If you want to do the same, go for it. Thanks so much and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this.
And then we have another post. Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlists or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.